Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our texts today are from John chapter 10 and Acts chapter 2. From John 10, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And from Acts 2, speaking of the Christians in the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, that is, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is our text. When it comes to Christianity, one of the things that has long been noted is the surprise with which how successful the Christian church was and is. If you think about the founder of a religious movement being crucified, you would think that that would be the end of it. And yet what we see when we look both in Acts and in John is a thriving and vibrant church. I'm reminded of the words of the Pharisee Gamaliel from Acts chapter 5. You might remember the event. The apostles had just been arrested for preaching about Jesus, and the Jewish ruling council is deciding what to do with them. And the Pharisee Gamaliel makes an interesting observation. He speaks about a number of other religious movements that had begun and then had sort of fizzled out. And speaking about the Christians, he said, "In the case of these followers of Jesus, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan, if this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, and you might even be found opposing God." The wisdom of Gamaliel looked at the situation and said, "Look, if this is simply a human creation, it's going to die out and fizzle, like all those other religious movements that have come and gone. But if this is of God, you just try and stop it. It won't work." We often see that. Movements and ideas, they may blaze brilliantly for a moment, and then they fade into the pages of history. They fade into the pages of history if they're even remembered at all. I think that ought to be a reminder for us in the things that we get worked up about in our own time, our own day. We get worked up about things that look like something today, but they will be forgotten tomorrow. And that's 99% of what goes on around us. Now, I don't think that Gamaliel actually expected the Christian church to thrive. I think that he said that expecting that, like all of those other groups, it would be a bright, brilliant star and then depart. He thought it would turn to dust like the other movements. He believed that it was an undertaking of man and not of God. So the council took his advice and they decided to bring the apostles in. They beat them and they charged them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And then they let them go. And I think they assumed that would be the end of it. Well, we today are living proof to say that that was not the end of the Christian church. And it was not the end of the apostles' preaching and teaching. And it was not the end of the shepherd or of his sheep. I do wonder what Gamaliel would say if he were to see the Christian church today. Size and growth aren't, of course, the only evidence that something is of God. There are things that are not of God that do grow, that do become large in size. There's Islam, which is big, or the Mormon movement, which is growing. That doesn't mean that they're of God, but it is remarkable that the growth and endurance of the Christian church happened in the book of Acts and afterwards and continues. It is remarkable. Christianity grew. And it grew not because it had the support or the encouragement of the ruling authorities or the intelligentsia or the academic world or the business class. It grew despite persecution and suffering. In fact, when the council sent the apostles away, having been beaten, it doesn't say that the apostles hung their heads and said, "Guys, we probably got to shut up about this Jesus stuff." No, it says they rejoiced. They rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. For which name? For the name that is above every name. For the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ, the one who is the shepherd and the door of the sheep. If you haven't read the book of Acts and you're wondering perhaps what book of the Bible you ought to read next or where to go in your devotional life, I would encourage you to read the book of Acts and see there the birth and the growth of the church. And again, I said at the beginning that it's remarkable the way the church survives and grows. And we might ask what accounts for that growth and that survival. And Gamaliel, I believe, put his finger on it when he said that if it is of men, it will fail, but if it is of God, you will not be able to stop it. The Christian church, its growth, its existence, its endurance, has everything to do with the founder of the church. I would say that you can draw a line from us gathered here today, or from Acts chapter 5, or from Acts chapter 2, and you can draw it right back to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep, for you and for me. Martin Luther once made a sort of wry quip when he was asked what the church is, and he said that even a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, the Good Shepherd and the sheep who hear his voice. The Good Shepherd and the sheep who hear his voice. The reason why the Pharisees were not successful in stamping out Christianity is that they can't stamp out the voice of a shepherd who already has died and is risen again. Alleluia, Christ is risen. They could not silence Jesus, and so they could not stop the church of Jesus from growing. And as I said, I believe and view that our life here together, Christians today, 21st century United States and around the world, is a direct result of the resurrection of Jesus, our shepherd, from the dead. The risen Jesus leads. The risen shepherd Jesus leads to a living church. The risen shepherd leads to a living church. And I said it before service when we gathered. We are not gathered here to do our own thing. We're not gathered here to come up with our own ideas or our own thoughts. And we're not gathered here because we want to remember Jesus, this great guy who lived and died and rose again and is off somewhere doing something, we don't know where. We are gathered here because we believe and are convinced that this risen shepherd Jesus is not gone or absent or far away, but he is alive and present. When you hear the readings, what do we say? This is the word of the Lord. The shepherd is speaking. When we come to Holy Communion, what are we coming to but to the body and blood of Jesus Christ, just as he says, "This is my body and this is my blood," not the body and blood of one who is dead, but the body and blood of a shepherd who died and is arisen and alive forevermore. We gather because Jesus is present here. Jesus speaks about himself as the shepherd of the sheep. He says, "The one who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is the thief and a robber." But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. And notice all of the things that Jesus says about what the shepherd does. It's so beautiful. The shepherd is the one who comes in by the door. He uses the proper means of access to get to his sheep and to take care of them. He says that he calls his own sheep by name. He knows them personally and individually. There's nothing about their lives or their needs that escapes his attention. And when we say he calls his own sheep by name, we believe that there's a deep and abiding connection to the gift of holy baptism. Where was it that you were named by your shepherd? But in those waters, when your name was used, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the good shepherd there made you one of his sheep. One of the sheep who is known, who is loved by the shepherd. Jesus says that the shepherd has a job in the lives of the sheep still, that he is the one who leads them out and who brings them in. We say in the baptismal liturgy, from this time forth and even forevermore. It's worth asking yourself today, what kind of leading do you need? Where are the places in your life where you need the shepherd to speak into your life, to give you guidance and direction, support and help, to show you which way to go, in and out? As you come forward for communion or come forward to receive a blessing, I encourage you to bring those things to our Lord, even name them in your own hearts before him, and say, Lord, here is the way I need you, shepherd, to lead me. Here are the questions that I have and the uncertainties in my life. Jesus also says that the shepherd is the one who goes before the sheep, and they follow him. Not only does he give direction, but he actually leads us on the path. What is the job of the sheep? It is not to know where they are going. It's not even to find their way to where they are going. The job of the sheep is simply to listen and to follow. Jesus has already led the way. He's led the way through some of the scariest and most challenging things that one can ever encounter in this world. He is the shepherd who has gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and he has come out the other side. Which means that he is able to lead us not only in life, but he is able to lead us as well through death and into the life of the world to come. And Jesus says, the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. They listen to him. They attend to what he says. What do we mean by that? The voice of the shepherd. We don't mean by this primarily that we listen to some voice inside of our hearts or inside of our feelings, or some word that comes to us from society or culture or some message in some other way. There is one place where we definitively and authoritatively hear the voice of the shepherd. And that is in Holy Scripture. That is where we hear the authentic and authoritative voice of our shepherd. If we are not listening to that, then we are not listening to him, no matter what we may think or feel. And that is why the Scriptures form such a central part of our life together as Christians. Why we gather around them being read and around the Scriptures being preached, and we don't have a service without the Word of God. And as Christians, we really should not have a single day without the Word of God. Let it be the first thing we hear in the morning and the last thing we hear at night, so that the voice of the shepherd is constantly in our ears. Jesus says not only that he is the shepherd, but he also says that he is the door. It's one of the most interesting images that Jesus uses of himself. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. One of these doesn't feel like it fits with the others. What would be the most impressive thing I could say that I am? What does he mean that he is the door? He is the means of access for the sheep. It is through him that we come into the fold, and it is through him that we are brought out to the green and good pastures. But I think even more, there's this beautiful image from ancient shepherding, especially in ancient Israel, where they would have an walled enclosure out in the hills for the shepherds or the sheep to find safety in overnight. And with this walled enclosure, they had one doorway, one way in or out. And the shepherd at night would lay himself in front of that doorway so that nothing could get in, nothing could get out, nothing could approach the sheep without going through him. What are the things that are trying to get at you? What are the things gnawing at your mind or at your heart? Maybe there's some sin, some temptation. Maybe there's fear about the devil and the power that he still exercises in this world. Maybe there's despair that's been crouching there. Tell those things that they cannot come to you without going through the door, without passing through Christ. And send them to him. Send them to the one who died and rose again. Send them to the one who paid for your sins. Send them to the one who defeated the devil. Send them to the one who is alive forevermore. We may also think of our own lives. What are the things or the people that we are tempted to deal with in our own lives without going through Christ? What are the things that we might engage in, or the relationships or people that we might interact with, that rather than seeking that through Christ, we wish to go in some other direction without using the door? A sheep trying to escape over the wall than by the means of access. Let us in our own lives, as we go in and out, as we engage with our work and our homes and our families and our relationships, let us do so through Christ, by praying for them, but also by remembering that every single person we interact with is a soul for whom Christ shed his blood. And let us see them in that way. In contrast to the shepherd, there is the thief. I don't want to dwell much on the thief today, but do note that Jesus warns us that there are those who wish to get at the sheep in some other way, and they have no purpose except to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus was probably thinking especially about the Jewish leaders. He had just healed the man born blind, and that man, for following Jesus, was kicked out of the synagogue. They said that that man could not have life through Jesus, but there is life found nowhere else. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." "I came" means that he came from heaven, from the right hand of the Father, true God who took on our human flesh. He came to the cross and he came to the grave, and he did all of that so that we might have life now and forever. Life abundantly and full in and through him. And that's why we are here today, to have that life renewed by our good shepherd, to hear the voice of our risen shepherd in his holy word and in his precious sacraments, to be the sheep that he intended us to be. Here we are gathered as the living church around the risen Christ, who is both our door and our shepherd. And this is exactly what the church looked like in the earliest days. In Acts chapter 2, our first reading today, we hear about the church immediately following the day of Pentecost. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. This is what we are to do as well. To be devoted to the shepherd whose voice gives life. To be devoted to the one who offers himself to us in his holy body and holy blood. To be gathered together and encourage one another through the fellowship of the church. And to bring our needs, our requests, and our thanksgivings through the shepherd to the very throne of God himself. Let us be devoted to the voice of the shepherd, to the gifts of the shepherd, to the life that the shepherd gives. And when I say devoted, I think we ought to consider the things in our lives that we may be most devoted to. There are many things to which we hold devotion. There are sports teams, there are TV shows and movies, there are relationships and friendships. You can be devoted to shopping, and you can be devoted to work, and you can be devoted to vacations. But the first Christians were devoted to Christ and to his voice. And so we are as well. We are gathered here to be those sheep, devoted to hearing him and following him and letting our lives be shaped and formed and guided by his word, to continue steadfast now and forever in him. And we are gathered together as well so that we can encourage one another in this. You heard that in the early church. It was not just an individual sheep here or an individual sheep there. To be a lone sheep is a dangerous place for a Christian. To be a lone sheep means that we are easily picked off, easily separated from our shepherd. We are meant to live together as a flock. And so I encourage you today, as you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, also to look around you at your brothers and sisters in Christ and seek how you can encourage them, support them, direct them to also hear and be devoted to the voice of the shepherd. For a risen shepherd leads to a living church. And we pray that we would be that living church with the life that Jesus himself has and gives for us now and forever. In his name, amen.